morning. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We have IQ Al-Rasuli, who is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, the foremost expert on the religion of Islam in the world. IQ, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, sir.
Good. The Attorney General of the United States read an indictment against Roof, the young man, 21 years old, that killed the folks in the, I think it was the Charleston African-American church. And we went through an episode here about 3 weeks ago where nationally Americans banned the Confederate flag. So I'd just like to ask you, you looked at Roof's murder. He left a manifesto. Did he claim that he was killing to spread the Confederate States?
Of course not.
Did he recite the Constitution of the Confederate States?
No.
Did he say that he was killing in the name of the God or President, you know, President Jefferson Davis of the Confederate States?
No.
Did he shout anything that was Confederate? Did he, for example, sing the Confederate fight song as he was killing?
Not at all.
Did he even tell those that he was killing, because he left some alive so they could report why he was killing? Did he associate it in any way with the Confederacy, its flag, the Confederate leaders, the gods and deities and religion and culture of the Confederacy?
Not at all.
So why did we ban the Confederate flag?
Because your leaders are stupid. They're criminally negligent and stupid.
Okay, so let's go one step further. The Attorney General today made this announcement on the indictment of Roof, which I want to read here in a moment, but the Attorney General didn't say anything about Muhammad, the murderer of the Marines in Tennessee. And last time I checked, didn't he leave a manifesto that he said that he was killing in the name of Allah deliberately to spread Islam?
Yes. What's happening in the United States of America is literally degenerate herd mentality. Absolutely. There is no more logic anymore in the United States of America. No more.
So why didn't we ban Islamic symbols? Because this man killed the same number of people in the name of Islam. I mean, he actually did this in the name of Islam, citing Islam, saying that he hated infidels because he wanted to spread Islam. Why didn't we ban the symbols and institutions associated with promoting Islam?
This is a remarkable thing that's what's happening in the United States of America. A white man kills black people all by himself, no association with any other person except himself.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they want to ban everything to do with the Confederacy.
Right.
They have a Muslim, and not one, 21 attacks in the United States of America on its soil. 21 attacks in 9/11. Nobody bans Islam.
Sure.
Nobody.
Yeah, I mean, one case you have absolutely no correlation of any kind between the Confederacy and Roof, and we ban signs of the Confederacy. And in the other case, you have absolute and undeniable links to Islam, to its Quran, to Allah, its wannabe God, to Muhammad, its wannabe prophet, all over the websites and speech of the 21 terrorists. And we don't even criticize Islam, much less ban it.
Because you don't have any more law and order. You don't have more rational thinking. You don't have more morality. The minute people...
No, right.
We may disagree about religion, but the minute they removed God everywhere in the United States of America, God has left them. God has left America.
Yeah. Yeah, God left America long before America removed the word God from its nomenclature, because the word God is not no bearing with the actual God. The concept, the Christian concept of God, has got no correlation. But you know, the fact of the matter is that to the degree that Christianity did accept some of the Torah's teachings, particularly what they call the Ten Commandments, which are ten statements, of which there's only five of which Christians pay any attention to. But to the degree that they applied those five statements, they were a vastly more moral people than we are today.
But they have abandoned these five. That's what
yes,
I'm saying. That's what
yeah,
I'm saying.
They have
abandoned even the five that you're talking about.
Right. For example, false witness. In political correctness, it is more appropriate to deceive than it is to tell the truth when the deception promotes political agendas.
Because political correctness is false witness. The media
correct.
Is false witness.
Right, it is.
The politicians, the clergy, and the academia, all of them are practicing false witness.
Right. Yeah, it's a celebration of false witness. And look at you should not make a habit of killing. Oh, my goodness. I mean, what nation kills more people than America? We do it with our drones. We do it with our fighters and our bombers and with our Apache helicopters. And how many countries have we invaded and brought a plague of death upon them? Look what we did in Libya. Well, look what we did in Somalia. Look what we did in Yemen. Look what we did in Syria. Look what we did in Iraq. I mean, death and destruction follows us like the plague.
Because what you're intending to do is without logic and without rational thinking. You should not interfere in Muslim countries.
Correct.
Full stop.
Right. And we've talked about that at length. And literally, there is nothing you can do productive in an Islamic country. If you provide weapons to one side, you'll end up increasing the carnage. If you do what we've done in Iraq and Syria, and you provide weapons on both sides, you make the carnage to the such that hundreds of thousands of people die. If you try to instill democracy, they'll mock you. They'll laugh in your faith and try to kill you for it. There's literally nothing we can do.
They are killing you for it. They are killing
right.
you. What happened to the 256 soldiers in Beirut explosion? What happened in Cuba?
Right.
What happened in 9/11? They're killing you for it. They don't want democracy. They want Sharia.
Right. And so long as a culture is indoctrinated with a religion to the degree that Islamic cultures are indoctrinated, you cannot reason with them.
You cannot.
They will hate you. They will hate you for telling them the truth.
But that's the whole point. You and I are hated, and so are maybe half a dozen other human beings who know about Islam, because we are telling the truth. And because we are telling the truth, the news media are ignoring us for political correctness.
Correct. Yeah, we are despised and hated because we tell the truth.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't want to know the truth. Political correctness is allergic to the truth. It's the worst thing you can do in a politically correct society is be one of the few willing to tell the truth.
Yes, but politically correct society is self-destructive. Look what's happening in Europe.
Of course.
For exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
They are self-destructive. They are literally, with their eyes open, are committing mass suicide in every country in Europe.
Correct. Correct. And doing it on a number of different fronts. It's not just the continual appeasement and empowerment of Islam, which is suicidal, but it's also the continued embracing of central banking and of fiat currencies and of entitlements brought to you by more debt. It's a society that has run amok in false witness so that people couldn't make a valid conclusion if their life depended on it because the information they're processing is rubbish.
Yes, not
even
only
if they're
the
willing to process it.
It's not only the information processing. The American public have been indoctrinated. The new generation of students have been indoctrinated with humanism and secularism.
Right.
We are bankrupt ideas.
They are. Now, every place that they have been taken to their natural conclusion, those places have suffered. They have become more impoverished. The people have become less enlightened. They become less inventive. And they are vastly less free. I mean, no matter how you and I would look at what are the benefits of systems and the negatives associated with systems, people being indoctrinated as opposed to educated, being inventive, being prosperous, being free, no matter what criterion you look at, the natural extension of socialist secular humanism is always depressing.
By the way, it is exactly the same thing as being a Muslim. The least educated people, the least inventive, the least creative in human history are the followers of Muhammad.
Yes.
For exactly the same reason.
Right.
You have no rational thinking. You are indoctrinated.
Right. Correct. That is the problem, and you're living in a society where right and wrong don't matter. You know those the last five statements that Yahweh etched in stone don't pertain to you. You know, in the promotion of socialist secular humanism, as is the case with Islam, the ends justify the means. In fact, the means, no matter how corrupt, no matter how deadly and how destructive they are celebrated.
Yes, that's why the Muslims celebrate death and destruction on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. But so do socialist secular humanists.
Correct. They are the same. They are literally the same.
You know, well, Islam is, I think, the most deadly dogma ever conceived by humankind. And the last 100 years, particularly if you subtract the last decade or so, but in the 100 years prior to the last decade or so, socialist secular humanism has been responsible for more deaths than every religion ever conceived, combined.
Correct.
200 million people that variations of socialist secular humanism have laid waste to. And on Islam is into the many hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of thousands and 200 million. It's a big number.
Okay.
So, yeah, the problem with Europe and America is that political correctness causes people to lie. And they deliberately deceive so that even those who may be willing to reason are processing invalid information because they have been indoctrinated. It's the bottom line. U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch said in announcing the indictment. Now, she didn't announce anything related to the murders in Chattanooga where a Muslim perpetrated them in the name of his God, Allah. But she read the following. Roof 21 planned the murders for months with the goal of increasing racial tensions throughout the nation and seeking retribution for perceived wrongs. He believed that African Americans had committed against white people, Lynch said. Didn't Muhammad and every Muslim terrorist lash out against infidels to increase religious tensions, in fact, racial tensions, because they identify with Arab? And that they do so seeking retribution for perceived wrongs?
All the time, for 1,400 years. Against 80%.
In fact, I would say probably, wouldn't you say that these two concepts of trying to increase tensions and seeking retributions for perceived wrongs is used in over 90% of Islamic terrorist attacks to justify killing innocent civilians?
90% is very little.
I
have never heard a single one who commits these acts of terror by Muslims without associating it that the Muslims are the victims. Never.
Right.
I've never heard that before.
Right. So this is the signature of Islamic terror, and yet she's unable to recognize that. He singled out the nearly 200-year-old church known as the Mother Emmanuel because of its historical significance in the African-American community, Lynch said. Don't Muslims single out those entities that have some historic significance, like the World Trade Center, like the Pentagon?
Like
a military recruiting base?
Correct. And
an army base?
and every
right, the Temple Mount
that they occupied or destroyed, yes, always
right,
of significance.
Right.
This is what
right.
ISIS is doing today as we speak. They're destroying the history of Egypt. They're destroying the history of Syria. They're destroying the history of Iraq completely. They're
right.
blowing it up.
Right. Yeah, and particularly if it has anything to do with the Christian church.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. Right,
nobody
in fact, in Egypt, virtually all of the Copt churches right, have been destroyed in Egypt, almost all of them. And and in Syria, almost all of them. In Iraq, almost all of them have been destroyed.
Completely.
So what's the...
And yet,
yeah, so,
the media is silent.
Yeah.
Obama
right.
is silent. The Europeans are silent. The Pope is
right.
silent. In fact, the Pope is embracing Islam. The Pope couldn't find any aggressive verses of the Quran. Wow.
Well,
I don't know what he read.
With me. He didn't read any of it. Now, the realization here is she is ascribing this to this man, assuming that this is why he made this choice, when there is no indication that is why he made the choice. And in fact, when Muslims attack churches, they cite the Quran to clearly admit, confess to the why they're killing Christians. So here, one is by extrapolation and probably erroneous, and the other is accurate, and they miss the one that's accurate and verifiable. That's pretty sick, isn't it?
Yeah, they are doing the same thing in Europe. Muslim gangs in England, Muslim gangs in Germany, in France, in every European country, they are literally raping, molesting, and enslaving white Christian girls.
Right.
And nobody does anything. They don't do anything. They haven't even brought anybody to trial except the Muslim gang members. But
tens
not
of
the
thousands
authorities
of
who allowed them. Not the police right. who allowed them. Not the council right. people who allowed them, and not the media who allowed them.
Right. Yeah, in fact, the most recent estimates, that's the next story I want to go over, the most recent estimates on human sex trading is that it's like 800,000 little girls have been sold as sex slaves, with about 95% of them being sold in areas controlled by Islam.
That's not unusual.
Right. But let's think the next thing. Right. Let's think of the next thing you said. Rolf signaled criminal intent in a racist manuscript posted on his website, she said. And you tell me, what percentage of Muslim terrorists post their criminal intent on their websites and ascribe their actions to Islam before they perpetrate them? What percentage?
100%. 100%.
And why didn't we cite that? Why don't we care about that? Why doesn't the FBI come out and say, you know, his motivation was Islam. That was clear. He quoted the Quran. He quoted the Hadith. He quoted Muhammad. He said he was going to kill in the name of his God, Allah. He said that he was seeking to spread Islam by killing. And here we make the connection, and there we do not. Thank you, the Secretary of State. Secretary of Attorney General, actually, of the United States, Loretta Lynch, said that Roof was a bad boy because he used racial slurs and that he expressed the belief that his people were superior to other people. Did that ever happen in Islam?
Well, Islam has always believed that they are the most superior human beings on the planet. It doesn't mean... Of course, that's irrespective of the fact that they are the most inferior intellectually and productively. No, they believe they are the most superior. God, their God, Allah, told them they are the most perfect people on the planet.
Of course, all evidence is to the contrary, but that's so much for the Islamic God ever telling the truth. And is there an Islamic slur used to describe non-Muslims?
Yes, infidel, kuffar.
Yeah.
Unbelievers, kafirun, yes.
Right. So we're dealing with the same thing. And that she decided that Roof 21 would be tried because on hate crimes. Does Islam hate everyone who isn't a Muslim?
Of course. You know, this is a remarkable thing that's happening in the United States of America. This political correctness has gone so much, so bad, so obscene. Not even the Supreme Court judges have got any more two brain cells of logic. Nothing to do with morality anymore. None.
Correct. Yeah. Here's another story that the head of the Taliban, Mullah Mohammed and Omar, was died. And what's interesting here is he died 2 years ago. Now, that's interesting in and of itself. So here we are. We're still tramping around Afghanistan. We've been there now, what, 12 years, 13 years or longer, and we're still there. We never did find him. He died 2 years ago, and we didn't even know it. Doesn't that say that maybe we wasted our money?
You mean $1 trillion?
Yeah, we wasted $1 trillion. We went after. We went to get him, and he died 2 years ago, and we didn't even know it. And another part of it that is just not being asked. You know where he died?
No, Pakistan.
No, in Pakistan, absolutely. But but where in Pakistan? You know where he died? Oh, I'll just fill you in here. This is too delicious. He died in Karachi, the biggest city in Pakistan, and he died in the largest hospital in the largest city in Pakistan. And what do you think the odds are that the Pakistanis didn't know that Omar had died in one of their hospitals?
Of course they knew. As much as they knew that Osama bin Laden was staying with them for 6 years. Of course they knew.
Correct. Correct. Now, so why don't you think that the Pakistani government fessed up to the American government and said, oh, by the way, you know, you just really ought to stop this war in Afghanistan. The Mullah Omar died 2 years ago in the Karachi hospital.
Yes, because we have friends in Pakistan.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you the reason they didn't disclose that little tidbit is because the United States supplies them with $3 billion worth of military hardware each year. And we pay them enormous amounts of bribery to allow us to funnel weapons to our troops through Pakistan into Afghanistan. And, you know, if the bad guy is gone, then why would we need to continue to do that?
Well, the right guy is gone, but they have replaced him with another one. So just one bad guy is gone doesn't mean the end of the Taliban. They have a new one.
That was the next question I was going to ask you. Okay, let's say that America was fixated on getting this guy, and the guy is now dead. How big a difference is it going to be in terms of the nature of the Taliban now that Omar is dead? How are they going to be different?
Zero difference.
What's important to the Taliban?
Taliban will continue to be the same.
And what's important to the Taliban? Was it Omar, or was it something else maybe important to the Taliban?
Taliban is to destroy America, to destroy Western civilization, to occupy the whole of Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you look just at the history of the Taliban, they're just a fundamentalist Islamic organization. They have no aspirations outside of being good Muslims. And the Taliban was created by Pakistan expressly to give Pakistan influence in Afghanistan. And the Taliban really initially wasn't all that interested in anything outside of imposing Islam and their version of Islam, because they killed all other Islamic groups. That's the Taliban, you know, came into being during the civil war that America started against the Russians there, and then wiped out all of the other rival Muslim jihadists after that war. But they were pretty content on just doing their thing in Afghanistan, and then most recently have turned on Pakistan. But, you know, they were not international jihadists. They were localized jihadists. They only brought hell to their own people.
They are still localized, but they are now associating themselves with ISIS. They want to give credence to the caliphate.
Yeah, and you know, that's going to be interesting, because now that it's known that Omar is dead, and that Omar's brother and his son were bypassed for power, you know, there's going to be a real issue here as to whether or not the jihadists are going to continue to align themselves with the Taliban versus the Islamic State. And making that choice could be life and death.
You're right. There would be a bloodbath between the groups to start with. Because they bypassed his brother and his son. So there will be a bloodbath between the groups. When the dust settles, then they most probably will join again with ISIS. There's no question they will join with ISIS.
Yeah, I think the Islamic State will prevail. Right. Yeah, the Islamic State is going to prevail because it has more worldwide allure to a Muslim. It's more in keeping with the Quranic definition of the destiny of Muslims. The Islamic State is presenting itself as the one world caliphate for all Sunni Muslims. And so I agree. For those Americans that think, the infighting, ought to be a good time for the peace process in Afghanistan, and this is, if the enemy has infighting, that's a good thing. How did the infighting turn out for us in Iraq?
A greater disaster than before the infighting.
Yeah, of course. How did the infighting turn out for us in Yemen?
And in Libya, the same. And in Syria, the same. In every Muslim country, the same.
Right. How's the infighting working now in Tunisia?
Ah, it's just started. By the way, Algeria is also having problems now.
Yeah. So this notion that infighting somehow is amongst terrorist groups, Islamic terrorist groups, is somehow good. Just look at the result of that infighting throughout modern history.
Never was to the advantage of the West. Never. And it will never be to the advantage of the West.
Right. And in the case of the Islamic State, America claims that they have killed 10,000 Islamic State militant leaders. 10,000 of them. Does the Islamic State look to you as if it has been decimated?
Not at all. Let's get this straight again. The Islamic State is a state of mind. It's not a physical state only. Every Muslim in the world is part and parcel of the Islamic State. Every Muslim.
Yeah, one way or another.
And unless we understand that, unless our leaders accept this, we are not going to solve the problem, ever.
Correct. Yeah, it is. Well, there are lots of marginal Muslims who are Muslim because they were born that way, who are know 1% as much about the Quran, Muhammad, Allah, and the Hadith and Sharia as you and I do. And 1% is being generous. And pretend to be Muslims when their own religious documents declare otherwise, that they are not, that they're just hypocrites and fooling themselves. And so there's that number of hypocrites that are pretending to be Muslim and being opposed to the Islamic State. But the truth is, every good Muslim is already a member of the Islamic State.
Because every good Muslim is a jihadi Muslim.
Right.
Every good Muslim is a jihadi Muslim. The Quran says in Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 216, says, jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained on you Muslims, though you dislike it. It is there. It is written down. And it continues to say, and it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. It's ordained. It's not negotiable.
When Abraham...
In every country on earth is a jihadi.
No. When Ibrahim Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi gave his last public declaration, my recollection was that every word out of his mouth, every single statement, was cited from the Quran. 30 minutes of reciting the Quran, and did not, I'm pretty certain he began with the verse out of the Quran you just read.
Because that's what it is. That is Islam. Right. It has always been the same. It cannot change. We discussed it many million times before. Since, according to the Muslim mindset, that the Quran is perfect, it means no one can change one dot up or one dot down from the Quran, because any change to the Quran will make it imperfect. That's why the Quran has never changed and will never change.
How can the Quran be perfect if it says that Alexander the Great traveled to where the sun goes nighty-night in a muddy spring and wanted to massacre the extraterrestrials that lived in the muddy spring where the sun goes to bed each night?
Yeah, you know, and I know what the Quran is about, but I'm looking at it from the point of view of a Muslim.
Right.
As far as Muslims are concerned, they have the most perfect belief system in the world, in the universe. You and I know that every single letter, every single word, every single ayah, verse, and every single surah, chapter in the Quran are the product of Muhammad's imagination. The secretions of his warped mind. Nobody revealed anything to Muhammad. No God called Allah and no angel called Gabriel. You know that, I know that, and the Quran proves it.
Yeah. But how is it that even an individual with a modicum of intelligence can believe that the Quran is a perfect book given by God when it's the dumbest and worst book ever written by any moral or rational standard? It's not even true historically. IQ, I want to change the subject here ever so slightly. There have been two reports that were released this week. One that was reported by the BBC that shows that in America, tens of thousands of little girls are being deliberately sold, therefore enslaved, by their parents to support their parents' drug addiction. Tens of thousands. The next report comes out of the United Nations. It says that over 800,000 little girls are kidnapped and enslaved and forced into prostitution, gang raped, that are sold across international borders. So this does not include those that are kidnapped and sold into sexual slavery within a nation's border, but 800,000. Of those 800,000, the survey lists the countries where this occurs. And I want you to tell me if you think there's something that these countries have in common. Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Lebanon, Burma, Southeast Africa, including Somalia and the Sudan. Do you see? Oh, by the way, there's two other countries, Malaysia and Indonesia.
Wow.
What do those countries have in common?
This is amazing. There is no similarity in any of them. Except that
I couldn't find a con.
Oh. They're only Muslim. That's all they are. Otherwise, they're not.
By the way, they missed a country, the most aggressive sexual slavery ring, and in slavery ring in the world today is in Bangladesh. Is Bangladesh a little bit Muslim? Come on. Bangladesh is only 99.8% Islamic. That's unfair.
This is what I was thinking. It's really unfair. We are now demonizing and brushing a whole group of people with one brush. But it happens to be
one brush. Well, let's just see. In the countries that we have named, the least prevalent that Islam is in those countries is 91% of the population, and it runs from 91 to 99.8% of the population in those countries that are responsible for 95% of the world's sex trade of enslaved little girls.
And this is by the United Nations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there is nothing to discuss any further than that, because the United Nations, 28% of the United Nations is Islamic anyway.
Right.
But they must be telling
the truth. They did not come up with the common denominator. They just listed the locales and the countries by name.
No, they wouldn't. Of course they wouldn't. They're politically correct.
Right.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't call
it a crime. Now, is there a crime worse than kidnapping a little girl from her home and gang raping her and then forcing her into prostitution? Could there be a worse crime?
Not really, but there are other crimes committed by Muslims 750 million Muslim women are subject to slavery. 120 million of them with genital mutilation. So what more can I tell you?
Yeah, but you know, mutilating your own daughter, while I think that is extraordinarily perverse, assuring that your daughter has absolutely no rights and no freedoms and no value, and selling her to a quote-unquote husband, well, that's perverse. It's another thing when you go take someone else's daughter and you force that other person's daughter into your religious perversity and gang rape her day after day after day. And you actually sell her off as a prize to those who win Quran reciting contests, to those who are the most vicious jihadists.
Yeah.
Why aren't we associating this with Islam? Why isn't there enough hate in this world to hate the religious doctrine that has authorized and inspired all of this?
Well, forget about hate. Why isn't there enough anger? Why? I don't need hate. I need anger.
Well, what does anger derive from? The reality is that while the politically correct would say that evil is derived from hate, I would claim that exactly the opposite is true. Evil of this magnitude, where over 800,000 little girls are forced into sexual slavery by Muslims, that occurs because we don't hate Islam enough.
Or because we don't point the point and the finger at it enough.
Right. And hold the religion accountable. And not only hold it accountable, but stay a spade a spade that this kind of enslavement of little girls is perverted. It's disgusting. It's reprehensible. We ought to hate it. IQ, I certainly appreciate everything you have done and continue to do.